If you have your New Testaments with you this morning, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. And in just a few moments, we'll be reading verses 14 through 17 as a means of introduction into the things that we'll want to talk about and speak of this morning. We're glad for the presence of all of you who are here. As you might notice the number on the board from last Sunday, and if you will remember what happened last Sunday, we do have a few more here. We are indeed grateful for your presence, for your safe arrival, and for the efforts that you have put forth. We are here for one primary reason this morning, and that is to worship God, to honor and to glorify our King and our Lord and our Savior. We have done that in song. We have done that in our prayers as we have gone before the throne of God. We have done all this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now in this part of the lesson, or in this part of our worship this morning, we are going to strive to study some of the word that he has given unto us. Hopefully we can learn the things that are there for us and that we can make application each day in our life. We want to talk about, as I said this morning, some things from Romans chapter 1, beginning in 14 down through 17, that Paul says concerning himself. Beginning in verse 14, Paul says, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. As we examine the life of Paul, I think we would all admire the accomplishments that he had made in the things that he was able to do in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and going about from city to city, and taking that gospel and establishing churches wherever he might go. He went about preaching the word of God. He suffered many things for the cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He endured many hardships so that others might know of the way of salvation. Some of these hardships that he endured, we can only imagine. We realize in our own life that even if we have to suffer sometimes hardships for the cause of Christ, that it doesn't hardly approach what Paul had to put up with. And we admire him for what he was able to endure. And he did this all so that others might hear the gospel. This was the reason. And he went about from place to place, taking the message of salvation, God's power of salvation, unto all those that he could reach. We notice here in these few verses what he said concerning himself and the things that motivated him to go with the gospel into the world and to teach the world the word of God and even to endure some of the hardships and being in prison and finally giving his life for the cause of Christ. He says in these few verses some of those things that motivated him. And what we would like to do this morning is take some time to look at this and see if this also might not be what should motivate us in taking the gospel to the world and living a life that is pleasing in the sight of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us strive to be like Paul, as we're going to see here. See that if we cannot make application and have the courage to do these things in our own life. In verse 14, the first thing that we want to notice, he says concerning himself, and there's really three things that he says, I am. First of all, he says, I am a debtor. Now the word debtor, if we look to Vines or we even look in any kind of dictionary that we have now, an American dictionary, we find the same kind of definition. It is a person who is under an obligation. Someone who is an obligation to someone else for something that they have done for them. Paul in Romans 1 and 14 says that he was a debtor. And Paul was a debtor to the world in the matter of preaching the gospel unto everyone else. We use the word debtor in exactly the same way that Paul was using it here. That is, a person is under an obligation to someone else. Maybe it is because of money that they have given or that we have borrowed from them. Perhaps it is because of something that they have done, some service they have rendered, and we feel that we are under an obligation, some time that they spent in helping us do something. And we are a debtor to that person because of what they have done. There's an obligation, we feel, that has been placed upon us because of the efforts that have been made by that other individual. And when we fulfill these obligations that we have, we say to ourselves that we have paid off that debt. We are no longer a debtor to that person. But Paul makes, and he uses this way, or this term concerning himself. He says, I am a debtor. And he says that he is to the Jew and to the Gentile, the Greek and the barbarian, the wise and the unwise. Paul places himself under an obligation to all of these individuals that he's talking about here. Why is it, though, that Paul puts himself under this obligation? What is it that they have done for him or to him, or what makes him feel that he is a debtor to these individuals? Well, as we look at some of the things that these people he's talking about, as we look at some of the things that they had done to him, some of the ways in which they had treated him, I think we can draw the conclusion it was not because of what they had done. Because we can look to the book of Acts and we find many things that the Greeks, the barbarians, and the wise and the unwise, how they treated Paul. We can look to Acts the 14th chapter, verse 18. As Paul and Barnabas are in Lystra there, and they came into the city and they healed this particular man, and the people of that city were ready to crown them as being gods and offer sacrifices unto them. And Paul stopped them. And as a result of teaching the word of God, we find that these individuals treated him in a very horrible way. They stoned him and left him for dead. They drug him outside of the city. This treatment then was the way that they acted toward Paul. Certainly we cannot say that Paul felt like he was under any kind of obligation to people such as this because of that kind of treatment. We look later on in the 16th chapter of Acts and we find him in the city of Philippi. And as a result of teaching the gospel, as a result of the things that he did, he found himself in prison, that his feet were in stocks. And how that, as a result of what he did, that this was the treatment. Certainly, again, we cannot think to ourselves that he felt, I'm under obligation to these people because of what they did here. In 4 and verse 14, he talks about Alexander the coppersmith, another individual that caused him a great deal of harm. Now, he didn't feel under obligation to this individual because of the way he treated him. And as we look also at what Paul had to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23 down through verse 33, the things that happened to him as a result of his teaching, as a result of him taking the gospel to the world, we find and we can conclude that this kind of treatment that came on him would not have made him feel obligated that he was a debtor to these individuals. We generally don't think of someone under an obligation or someone under being a debtor to another individual because they treated them in a bad way. Why then did Paul feel that he had this obligation? Why was he a debtor to the Greek and the barbarian, to the wise and to the unwise? What is it that made him feel this way? Well, I think we can conclude, certainly, it was not what they had done to him, done for him. That would have not brought him under this obligation. What brought him under this obligation, I believe, is the fact of what Jesus Christ had done for all of mankind and Paul's knowledge of that. Paul's knowledge of what the gospel was. Paul's knowledge that it was God's power unto salvation and that the only way anybody is going to be saved was that they hear and that they obey. I believe that's what the thing that placed him under that obligation. That he had a love for the souls of others and the knowledge and the belief that he had brought him under this obligation. Therefore, he was a debtor for what Christ had done for him, for what Christ had done for the world, and his belief, his conviction, his knowledge of what God and what Christ had done. He says there, as we read just a moment ago in verse 15, for as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. I'll go there. I'm ready to go and preach the gospel to you. I am under this obligation to take this word of salvation to you. And Paul says also in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Here again was that obligation that he felt. There was a necessity because of what Christ had done, of the knowledge that he himself possessed. And he wanted to tell others concerning the salvation of Jesus Christ. What was so important, again, about the gospel that brought Paul to this condition to where he says, I am a debtor? I think it's expressed in verse 16 there. For it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God was found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was for everyone, as he's going to point out later on, it was for everyone who had ever sinned and separated themselves from God. The gospel was for that person. That was why it was important. That's why the gospel is still important today. It is the means of salvation for everyone. If you're here this morning and you have sinned and you've separated yourself from God as a result of that sin, the gospel is for you, just as it was for everyone in the first century. That's the importance. Paul knew of this importance, and he wanted to take it to the world. This was Paul's knowledge, that the gospel would bring about man's salvation. And man could not obey until he heard the gospel. Again, in the book of Romans, in the 10th chapter, and if you would turn there, beginning in verse 8, we notice what Paul had to say concerning the gospel of Christ, concerning the word that is spoken unto others. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. What's he talking about? He's talking about the gospel, the word of faith which we preached. That if you confess what? Confess the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess with your mouth that the Lord, that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart. Believe what? Believe this, the gospel of Christ. Believe in your heart. Excuse me. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness. Believes what? Believes this about Christ. Believes the gospel. And with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now notice what he says. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. This is the obligation then that Paul felt. He realized that men could not be saved until they heard the gospel. And he had a love for the souls of men, and this compelled him. That is why he was a debtor, the message that he had. And Paul's life certainly shows that he had this burning desire to see people obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. He believed what Christ said when he said, in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Paul believed that. He truly believed that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. In Acts 4 and verse 12, we find what the apostle said there concerning the name of Christ. As Peter utters these words, and he says there, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Paul believed that. Paul was convinced of that. He possessed that knowledge. And as a result, he was under obligation to teach others these things that he knew. Paul believed Ephesians 1 and verse 3, where he himself said that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. He was convinced of that. He believed that. And he believed that the gospel was the power of God unto salvation. He was convinced of the joys of heaven. He was convinced of the horrors of hell.
He believed in Jesus Christ.
And as a result of that, he taught, he felt that he was under this obligation. It was as if Paul had the medicine in his possession that was going to save all men from a deadly disease. And he had a love for their life and for their soul. And he felt this obligation to take that medicine. Here in this particular case, it is the gospel. That medicine to everybody that he possibly could. He saw the world dying, separated from God in their sins. And he had that remedy within his knowledge. And he was not going to hold it back. He believed what he taught. He believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. This knowledge and this belief brought on this obligation. I am a debtor, he says. He had the gospel and he wanted to tell others that this was their opportunity unto salvation. And it was the only hope that they had. To whom was he indebted? Well, he says here to the Greek, to the barbarian, to the wise, and to the unwise. And that just kind of covers everybody, doesn't it? He says to the Greeks. That is, this is the idea of those individuals who were well educated. Those who were rich and refined. The word barbarian just simply means a foreigner. Someone who is not of that particular, he's not a native of that land. So that includes everybody, the wise and the unwise, those who are educated, and those who are less fortunate, who do not have, perhaps, a great education. Paul says, I am indebted unto these individuals. I owe them something. I am under obligation. And certainly Paul displayed a willingness to preach the gospel to everybody, not just a select few, because he went to wherever he could. He went all over the world at that particular time, striving to teach the gospel to everybody. He even went to the city of Rome, as he is writing to the Romans here, to that great capital of the world, where all different kind of people could be found. He was willing and wanted to go there. Do we feel this same obligation that Paul was under? I wonder if we do from time to time. Do we feel that we are debtors? Can we say that about ourselves, that we're under obligation to everybody in the world as Paul was under this obligation? We want to simply ask the question, was Paul under any obligation that the rest of us are not under? Some people might say, well, yes, he was under a direct commission from Christ. He was under a commission from God. He was under one of those that was spoken to perhaps in Matthew 28. Right? He wasn't there at the present time, but he was one of the disciples. He was one of those that were the apostles that went out into the world, was told to go into the world. So he's under a different obligation than we are, some might say. But I would suggest to you, he's under no more obligation than we are. We want to ask another question in regard to that, and is, do we owe any less to Jesus Christ than Paul did? Did Paul owe more to Christ than we did? Than we do now? Certainly not. We are under the same obligation that Paul was under. Certainly we all have different abilities. We do not all have the same talents and the things that we can do in our work and in relationship to the kingdom of God. But even the one talent man was under an obligation to use that talent in his service unto God. We are all debtors. Paul made this statement, I am a debtor. We should feel that obligation also. And use whatever abilities God has given unto us. We need to feel this kind of weight. We need to feel this kind of obligation and debt that Paul felt. We need to say to ourselves, I am a debtor also. I am a debtor because of the knowledge that I possess, because of the gospel that has been given, because of my love for the souls of all men. I am a debtor to everyone. Excuse me. In verse 15, he uses the next I am, and he says, I am ready. That word ready just simply means prepared to go, prepared to do something. We use it in exactly the same way today as Paul is using it there. I'm ready to go. I'm sitting on go. I'm prepared for any opportunity that might arise. You know, we prepare for a vacation, and we get things ready for that vacation, so that when the time does arrive, we'll be ready to go. Children prepare for college. People prepare for the job so that when that college comes, when the job arrives, we'll be ready to go. Soldiers are also prepared. They are individuals who get ready for something. They don't know when they're going to be called into duty, but they're ready all the time. They are prepared so that if something comes up on the spur of the moment, they don't have to get ready then to go. They're prepared and they go when the call comes. Paul uses, I think, this word in this way: I am ready to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. Paul was simply seeking for an opportunity so that he could come to Rome and he could preach to those individuals that were there. And he felt an obligation to them, even though they were already Christians. Verse 7 and also verse 10 points this out in that first chapter. They were children of God. They were saints. But yet he felt an obligation to come, to be ready, to come to them and preach to them also. And he recognized the importance of being ready when the opportunity did come. In Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10, there was a man that appeared into him into a dream saying, "Come over unto Macedonia." And he was ready to go. He was ready when the Lord called him to go into Macedonia. And we see what happened when he went. He established the church there in Philippi and in Thessalonica and in other places. He was ready when the opportunity came. He was prepared. We see also in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 8 and 9, he talks about a great door being opened. He was ready. He was prepared. Then, not trying to get ready so that he would be prepared later on. He was prepared and he was ready then. And we as Christians need to do the same thing. As Christians, we must also make ourselves ready to preach the gospel at every opportunity that we have. We don't know the time when someone might come to us and ask us for our help. I'm talking about in a spiritual way. We don't know when that time might come. We don't know the time that our husband or our wife or our children, our relatives, our neighbors, our co-workers might come to us and need our help spiritually. We need to be prepared all the time, because I'm afraid that there are some individuals whose interests grow cold in spiritual matters while we make ourselves ready and prepared for them. And I'm convinced there might even be souls who have been lost because we were not ready. We were not prepared to deal with the questions or with the problems that they had. We must strike while the iron is hot, because once again, interest can cool. Souls can be lost if we're not ready. Paul says, "I'm ready. I am prepared, even to go to Rome and to preach to those individuals." And that's interesting. Paul is ready to go to Rome. Now, what's your concept of Rome at this particular time? Largest city, perhaps, in all the world. The center of the world, the capital of the Roman Empire, which governed the world at that time. And you could find, I'm sure, every kind of person that you wanted to in that city. And Paul might have thought to himself, if he thinks like we do sometimes, that'd be the last place I want to go. Here is the center of emperor worship. There's a lot of people who think Caesar is God and they worship him. And if they don't worship him, then perhaps they're like Athens that has an altar to every god in the world. And this would be the last place, perhaps, he would think that he needed to go. But he was willing to go to this greatest city in the world where he could find rich and poor, educated and heathen. And he was willing to go there and to preach. And I'm convinced Paul was ready to go anywhere to preach the gospel. Wherever he had an opportunity, it did not matter. You know, I'm convinced if he was alive today, he'd be willing to even go to New York City and to preach the gospel there, or Las Vegas, or San Francisco, or London, or Paris, or even Rome itself now. He would be willing to go there because he was in the debt. He was under an obligation to the world. Let us never be content in our day and age to preach the gospel only to a select few individuals. And sometimes I think we get that mentality that the gospel was intended for Americans. That it was intended that Jesus Christ died for only us in the 20th century who live in America. And perhaps that he only died for those who were in the middle class. Because that's, again, a concept that a lot of people have. That's the way they want the church to be made up of. Middle class Americans. And they have, it seems, no interest to take the gospel anywhere else. Some are content to do that. But the gospel is for everybody who sins. For everybody who sins, the gospel is for them. In Romans 3 and 23, as Paul makes the statement later on, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, if middle class America is the only ones who sin, then that's the only one the gospel is for. If the extreme rich and the extreme poor don't sin, then the gospel is not for them. But if they do sin, then we ought to feel an obligation and a debt because of the knowledge that we have and because of what God has done for all of mankind. We ought to feel an obligation to take the word of God to them. If we can't take the gospel, due to limitations though, perhaps we might be able to help others who can. Let us, as Paul said here, let us make ourselves ready. Let us be prepared. He says, I am a debtor and I am ready. And finally, he says in verse 16, I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word ashamed simply means to have feelings of fear or of shame, which would prevent a person from doing a thing or something that we have done or failed to do, and we don't want anybody else to know about that thing. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8 to Timothy, told him not to be ashamed of the message, nor of Paul for what Paul had done. He says there in verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of this. Don't have any fear. Don't let shame come upon you because of the testimony, because of what the gospel declares. And don't be ashamed of me because of what has happened to me as a result of preaching the gospel. We use this word again in exactly the same way today. Someone is ashamed of something. That is, they are afraid to tell others of something that they have done or something they have failed to do. You know, a child who lies is ashamed of that, and they don't want to tell their parents about it. They're ashamed of their actions, and they try to cover up that. And you know, whenever we do anything that we know is wrong, we're ashamed of that. We don't want others to find out about these things. And it's due to the reactions that others are going to have toward us. They might ridicule us for our actions. They might reject us for what we have done. And so as a result of not wanting that reaction toward us, we might lie because of it. For what we have done. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And we don't need to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ at all. Paul felt no shame. Or no fear of telling of the story of Jesus. And why should he? Why should we have any fear? Why should we be ashamed of telling of the story of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why should we be ashamed of telling of the love of God who sent forth his Son into the world, who became the Savior of all of mankind, who in his death, because of what he did, is able to remove the sins that separate us from God? Why should we be ashamed of telling of a Savior who lived a humble and a sinless life, who died for us, who was raised by the power of God, ascended into heaven at the right hand of God, where
where he now has all power and all authority. Why should we be ashamed of that? We shouldn't be. We should never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul showed what he gloried in. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, he makes this statement, "But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." That's what he gloried in, was the cross of Jesus Christ, was the life, was the death of his Lord. He gloried in that. He wasn't ashamed of it. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Where was his joy? It was in Christ Jesus. That was what he took glory in. In that same chapter, in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 18 and 19, we see how he talks about some who took glory in that thing that they ought to be ashamed of. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." Paul didn't glory in these things. He gladly gave up earthly things. His glory was in Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, Peter makes the statement there, "If any man suffer, let him suffer as a Christian, glorifying God in this matter." That's what we ought to glory in, not be ashamed of it. Why would one be ashamed of the gospel? I think we can find some Christians who are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Shame is brought on by how others react. That's what brings on shame. Reaction is based on standards also. Reaction of an individual to us and what we've done is based on the standard that they live by. For example, we might find a student in school who, as he goes before a principal for what he has done, will feel ashamed of what he's done. Because of that action, he knows he has done wrong. He is judged by a standard that is established by the principal or by the school. As a result of what he's done, he feels ashamed. But that same student, doing that same act, may go before a group of his peers who live by another standard, and he might glory in that same act that he has committed. It's because of standards. And the standard that we live by as children of God is not one that's found in the world. We live as children of God by the standard that he has established. The gospel is God's power to save. It is our standard. It belongs unto God. And if I live by it, I am going to be saved. Now, the world hates the gospel. The world at least doesn't understand the gospel. The world ridicules the gospel of Jesus Christ from time to time. We don't live by that standard. If we live by that standard, then we might ought to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But that's not what we live by. Our life is conducted, it is guided by God's word. And we should never be ashamed of it. Let us be convinced of this one truth. We can't live by the standard of the world and by the standard of God at the same time. We cannot do it. Let us be convinced of that one truth. If we're trying to please the world, we're not going to please God. And if we're trying to please God and Him only, we're not going to please the world. James 4 and verse 4 says they're at enmity one with another. Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 10 there, he says, "Am I trying to please God or man?" If I'm trying to please man, I can't please God. We should never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some do live by the standards that are found in the world, and as a result of that, they end up being ashamed of what the gospel has to say and the standard that it sets up. The standard of right and wrong. To be ashamed of the gospel means that I'm ashamed of God, who is the source of the gospel. To be ashamed of the gospel of Christ means that I'm ashamed of Christ and what He has done for me. To be ashamed of the gospel means I'm ashamed of the Holy Spirit because He is the one that has revealed the gospel. I'm ashamed of being a citizen of heaven I'm ashamed of being a child of the Creator. I'm ashamed of striving for heaven. If I'm ashamed of the gospel, if I am, if I find fear and shame is brought upon me because I've tried to live by this, then I'm ashamed of God and all that He has done. Paul says, that's not me. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of it because it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to everyone. It is God's power unto salvation. And then Paul concludes this by saying in verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed in His Word. That's what Paul says. Now, we're not talking about the attribute of God here, of God being righteous. We're talking about the Word of God that makes man righteous. The gospel is God's plan. It is God's power to make man righteous. It's just that simple. It's His plan as well as His power. This gospel that He has revealed unto us. And He says it is from faith to faith. There is some discussion as to what this particular phrase means. I believe He's talking about an objective faith to a subjective faith. That is from faith to faith. God's faith, the revealed Word, to the faith which I have. I believe that's what He's talking about. The just shall live by faith. These two faiths are inseparable. I cannot separate God's faith from my faith. If I have faith that's going to please God, it's because I believe the faith that has been revealed. And this is what Paul has said. In it, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. The just shall live by faith. Paul could never be ashamed of that which was God's power to save. He could never be ashamed, nor should we be ashamed, of that very thing that brings righteousness unto man. We should never be ashamed of that by which man should live. Never. Paul wasn't, and we cannot be. Paul makes three statements here about I am. I am a debtor. Paul believed what he's talking about. He believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was convinced of this. As a result of that knowledge and that belief, he was a debtor. Do we feel that same obligation? We have the same knowledge. We ought to have the same belief. Are we in debt to others? Are we under an obligation to them? Are we ready? Are we ready at all times to take the Word of God unto others? Are we not ashamed? We better not be. Paul felt keenly what he wrote about. He was a debtor. He was ready, and he was not ashamed. And this motivated him to act. It motivated him to act to so much that he could say to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and verse 26, I am pure from the blood of all men. Every time he had a chance to speak to someone, he spoke to them concerning the salvation of their soul. And he could make that statement. Let us strive to feel this same obligation, this same urgency, this same need that Paul felt to tell others of Christ, of the gospel of salvation, of God's love for what He has done through Christ His Son. And let us never be ashamed of it. If you're here this morning, as we said in the beginning, you're not a child of God. If you've sinned, you need Christ. If you have done something that is contrary to the will of God, you need the blood of Jesus Christ. You're separated from God. And it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. And what does the gospel tell us? The gospel tells us for the alien sinner to remove the sins that stain his soul, he must have faith, repent of his sins, confess his faith, and be baptized for the remission of his sins. That's what the gospel says. That's what this book declares unto us. If you want sins removed, that's what you've got to do. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But you must hear and you must believe. If you're an erring child of God and sinned in some way that has separated you from God, and you need to ask forgiveness, seek God's forgiveness. If you need the prayers of the saints that are here, then confess that wrong and do what is right. You have an opportunity to do that this morning. An opportunity may never come again. Be ready.
Paul says, I'm ready. You need to be ready. Be ready to obey God. If you're here and subject, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?